Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, listeners, and a warm welcome to you all. Our first article is about those who are combating desertification and drought. And it's called Land Conservation, a Risky Business, which is by Thuringa Yakubitiagi. I hope I said that right. It can be found in the September 2019 issue of Share International magazine. And from the United Nations, it goes, in the light of land degradation and climate change, the protection of the environment is crucial. But the protection of the very people working tirelessly and with much risk to preserve nature should be just as important. Forests have long been underestimated. They sustain biodiversity, regulate the world's water and weather cycles, and even provide the air we breathe. In fact, one-third of the climate solution lies within the land use sector, which includes the protection of forests, United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification has found, or UNCCD. And it is indigenous and local communities who are on the front line in protecting this increasingly vital ecosystem. Thanks to us, the forests are there. Thanks to our blood and our fight, we still have the Amazon. If we just depended on the economic model, the Amazon would be devastated, said indigenous Kishwa leader Patricia Gualinga during the United Nations Permanent Forum for Indigenous Issues, or UNPFII.
And she goes on to say, many people think that the problem of indigenous peoples is an isolated one. No, the Amazon is vital for humanity. Our struggle is a global problem. Destroy the Amazon and the world will be destroyed. However, indigenous environmental defenders are facing growing threats as they are pushed off their own lands or are even killed simply for protecting forests. And Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, Victoria Tauli Kapuz, says, criminalization and violence against indigenous peoples and human rights defenders is a global crisis. They are intended to silence indigenous peoples' protest. According to international NGO Global Witness, 207 land defenders were killed in 2017. Most of these deaths took place in just four countries: Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, and the Philippines. Tauli Kapuz says, at the root of this violence is systemic racism and the failure of governments to recognise and respect indigenous land rights.
The special rapporteur found that the majority of those killed were defending their land against extractive private sector projects. In August 2018, the body of Zhou Xingho Guajajara, the leader of the Guajajara people, was found in Brazilian Amazon Maranhão State. Due to his work in protecting the forest, many suspect illegal loggers are the perpetrators. After opposing mining activities in his community, Mexican indigenous rights activist Julian Carrillo was shot in October 2018. Our territories hold the resources that are so envied by the oil and mining concerns on which the global economic model is based. And in terms of human rights, the economy wins out because our rights as indigenous people are not being respected, and they never have been, Gualinja said.
Such activities are often enabled by governments, and now the rise of populist governments threaten to reverse the little progress that has been achieved. In Brazil, President Jair Bolsonaro has long attacked indigenous rights and lands, saying that it is a shame that the Brazilian army did not exterminate indigenous communities and that indigenous designated territories are an obstacle to agribusiness. Just hours after taking office earlier this year, Bolsonaro transferred the regulation and creation of new indigenous reserves to the Agriculture Ministry and has since proposed to open up the Amazon and other indigenous territories to commercial farming and mining. And coordinator of Brazil's Indigenous People Articulation, APIB for short, Sonia Guajajara says, "Our fundamental rights are being destroyed by a fundamentalist who adopted a hate discourse against indigenous people and denies people their territory rights. When they deny that, they are denying their original peoples."
Guajajara has joined over 4,000 others in Brasilia for the Free Land Protest, which is expected to be the largest indigenous protest in the South American nation. "We are not going to go back. We are going to resist. It's 5 centuries we're still here. We need to help the earth. We are responsible. We have to join hands and go together and say that the fight for Mother Earth is the mother of all fights," Guajajara said during an UNPFII event. Though a number of countries have recognized the importance of forest and land protection, some conservation policies have resulted in the exclusion and displacement of indigenous communities.
In Kenya, there has been an escalation of violence as the Forest Service has repeatedly evicted and burnt Singwa homes in the Embobotch Forest and has even shot several community members. Special Rapporteur Tauli Kapuz found that the Kenya Forest Service is among the recipients of the European Commission-funded climate change project in the area. While Indonesia has worked to drastically reduce deforestation, its conservation policies have also been detrimental to the livelihoods and well-being of indigenous communities. In 1992, the Indonesian Foreign Minister designated the Mount Salak Halaman forests as a national park. Prior to that, the area was indigenous Kasapuhan community land, which was used to gather food and other subsistence needs. But the group now face harassment and intimidation from the park rangers and struggle to survive.
Despite its protected status, the forests still see illegal logging and deforestation. "The problem we are facing is because of the conflicting laws and also the conservation so far that has been very much dominated by the non-indigenous paradigm that has also become the paradigm of the government," said Ruka Zombolingi, Secretary General of AMAN, the Indigenous People's Alliance of the Archipelago. She noted that indigenous communities have already long been protecting their environment. According to the Indigenous Peoples Major Group, 80% of the world's remaining forest biodiversity are in Indigenous Peoples' territories, which only make up approximately 18% of the world's total land.
And it is no coincidence. Forest Trends found in 2004 that such communities invested between $2 and $4 billion per year on resource management and conservation, equal to 1/4 of the amount spent by the conservation community on all public protected areas worldwide. Forests managed by indigenous peoples are also found to have lower rates of deforestation and more climate benefits. Sombolingi said, "When we protect the forests, we are protecting all of us. So when you are protecting indigenous peoples, you are also protecting yourself." Providing land rights and titles can thus help in the fight to protect the world's forests and lands from further degradation.
While indigenous communities customarily own more than 50% of the world's land, only 10% is legally recognized. Launched by the Rights and Resources Initiative, the RRI, the International Land and Forest Tenure Facility, is the first and only multi-stakeholder financial mechanism focused on securing land and forest rights for indigenous people and local communities. It provides grants to indigenous organizations to help scale up the implementation of land and forest tenure of reform policies, as well as to map and register their lands. For instance, the facility helped Aman title over 1.5 million hectares of land belonging to 200 indigenous communities and achieve recognition for 230,000 hectares in Indonesia in just 24 months.
Ruka Sombalingi also highlighted the need to provide technological support to indigenous peoples. Already, governments and civil society have taken advantage of today's technological advances by creating easily accessible monitoring and information services. The Forest Watcher mobile application, created by the Global Forest Watch, helps monitor, act on, and prevent deforestation and illegal wildlife activities, which often take place away from the public eye. The app gives information in real time to those on the front line, including rangers and indigenous forest communities.
First and foremost, the international community must respect indigenous rights, including by working to protect land defenders and end impunity. I hope that we will be able to stop this criminalization and ensure that indigenous people will continue to play their role in protecting the forest, and not just for themselves, but for the rest of the world, Toliko Pus said. And the source of that information was CIPS. Now, from the Amazon to Sudan, mass protests lead to change of government in Sudan. Sudan's pro-democracy movement and the country's ruling military council signed a power-sharing agreement on the 4th of August 2019, paving the way for a transition to civilian rule following the overthrow of longtime autocratic leader President Omar al-Bashir in April.
Representatives of both sides signed a constitutional document that will create a joint military and civilian council to govern for 3 years until elections are held. The agreement also establishes a cabinet appointed by the pro-democracy coalition as well as a legislative body. The military overthrew al-Bashir after months of mass protests against his 30-year-long rule. Protests continued after the overthrow, with the central demand being a quick transition to civilian authority. Negotiations between the civilian opposition and the military took place for weeks amid large protests in the streets and some violent attacks against demonstrators. General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, the deputy head of the military council, said that the agreement ended an era in Sudan's history characterized by rivalry and fighting. "We have entered the negotiations as partners and leave as one team. The national will has triumphed. It is a win-win," he said.
Protest leader Omar al-Daji said a fair and transparent investigation into violence by security forces against protesters and achieving peace with rebel groups in various parts of the country would be top priorities for the transitional government. "There will be no democracy without peace," he said. "National reconciliation will be the slogan of the transitional period." Some in Sudan have cautioned that it is too early to tell how events will unfold in the transition period leading to elections. It is not the first time that Sudan signed some sort of agreement to resolve very difficult political questions, said Maji Al-Ghizouli, a Sudanese academic and fellow of the Rift Valley Institute. But he added, "I think if there is reason for optimism, the reason is not in the negotiation rooms. The reason is in this popular movement that doesn't want to go away."
So now moving on to a few quotes that were part of a compilation called Synthesis. And Benjamin Cram has said that the growing awareness and demonstration of the will of the people worldwide is a growing demonstration of synthesis. So here we have a few quotations, and they are taken from a book called Messages from Maitreya the Christ and from Maitreya's teachings, The Laws of Life, Benjamin Krem's Master from the book A Master Speaks, and from Benjamin Krem's writings. And here's the first quote. The new energies of Aquarius, mounting daily in potency, are already making their presence felt and lie behind the changes in every sphere which are now occurring on a global scale. These changes must and will reflect the quality and inner nature of the Aquarian energy, namely synthesis.
These energy of synthesis fusing and blending the different strands of our multifaceted life have the task of bringing humanity to an awareness of its oneness, an appreciation of its part in the great plan, and an ability to manifest that plan in right relationship on the physical plane. The first steps are being taken now as the nations wrestle with the problems of a dying economic structure and changing political affiliations. The early signs of a new global consciousness can be seen as men realize the need for cooperation in dealing with their environmental problems. And that was from Benjamin Krem's Master, The New Age is Upon Us.
This next quote is also from Benjamin Krem's Master from the article Man's Emerging Divinity. The essential quality of Aquarius is synthesis, a quality rarely seen in today's life on Earth. However, in gathering momentum, the quality of synthesis will gradually replace in all departments of life the fragmentation and disharmony of today. Men will come to understand the meaning of unity and to recognize that they are brothers and sisters of one family journeying together on a voyage of discovery.
Right, and another one is, the goal for humanity in this coming age is the creation of group consciousness, the sense of being an integral part of a whole. The new energies entering this planet from the constellation Aquarius work in this direction. Their intrinsic quality in synthesis is synthesis and universality. We are about to witness profound changes in all our institutions and structures, political and economic, religious and social, scientific, educational and culture. These changes will take place as humanity grasps, stage by stage, its essential oneness and adopts the measures necessary to implement that oneness. Benjamin Krem's book, Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1.
And next we have another quote from Benjamin Krem's Master from the article Prelude to Change. The old outworn structures are losing their stability and coherence and thus clearing the ground for the construction of the new age forms. These new forms must embrace the ideals and aspirations of all men for a more just world, a world no longer torn and divided into rich and poor, powerful and weak. They must, above all, embrace the idea of synthesis, the inner spiritual intention of the Aquarian dispensation. When Maitreya emerges into full public work, he will lay the foundations of these new approaches to living. He will emphasize men's oneness and the need for sharing justice and freedom as the only guarantee of peace. He will call on all men to forgive and to forget the wrongs of the past. He will sound the clarion call to work together for the good of all.
And that brings our program to an end. Thank you for listening. And if you want more information, you can visit www.share-international.org. Or you can email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. So I hope you have a nice day and God bless.